Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show them how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be speaking about eternal salvation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Verse 2. "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Paul had a confidence that if for any reason his body was suddenly gone, he would have a glorified body waiting for him, not made by hands, and ready to rule with Christ. He was not complaining about his physical body either. We read in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 25 to 27. This is in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 25. "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that crept upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. When God made the beasts of the earth and everything, he said it was good. And when he created man, he did not say man was good. Instead, he honored man by creating him in his own image. Man was designed to function with God at the center and be born of God, and be a channel of God's blessing for the whole earth. The Lord allowed Adam to give each of the animals a name, but this was actually God giving the names through him. To be profitable for the rest of creation, Adam's life had to stay submitted to God." Paul was talking about Christ in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. This is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 7. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was delivered into challenging circumstances after speaking the truth. Jesus depended on the Father to rescue him from evil and make a way of escape. There were many attempts made to kill Jesus before the cross, but he did not sin. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 6. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Verse 8, "and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is divine, but took on human form, emptying himself, tasting death for everyone. The Father highly exalted Jesus because he trusted God completely in everything and did not resist. Paul was speaking about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. This is Hebrews chapter 5, I'm starting in verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The word obey in Strong's is number 5219. It comes from some other words which means to hear under a subordinate. That is to listen attentively, by implication to heed, to conform to a command or authority, to hearken or be obedient. Jesus was found to be perfect despite what he suffered. He had to be the perfect sacrifice and qualified to die on the cross without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Jesus proved that his whole life pleased God. We have an assurance that he never sinned, even though he was tempted in every way like us, because the Father raised him to life. Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. I'm reading the book of Acts, chapter 17, starting in verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he's raised him from the dead. Death could not hold him, because Jesus never did anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, purpose, and action. Jesus even fulfilled all the scriptures relating to the cross without ever leaning to his own understanding. We are told to follow his example. Jesus was speaking in Luke 9 and verse 23. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus chose willingly to suffer and die according to the scriptures. He had to be tempted in every way like us, but he made a decision in advance to do God's perfect will. We can read the decision Jesus made. Paul said it in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 to 9. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I am come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings, and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had you pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Jesus did not go into any situation unprepared with any doubts. There was only one option for him, and that was to do God's perfect will. I found it hard to believe God is love when I first accepted Christ as my Savior, but this is because I did not accept his lordship in my life. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In the Amplified Bible, Philippians 2:5 says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Noah Webster in 1828 defined humility as, in ethics, freedom from pride and arrogance, humbleness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth. In theology, humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to the divine will. Noah Webster in 1820 also said humility is the act of submission. The author of the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, Joseph Hedgecock, would say, I have already decided the answer is yes in my heart before I ever hear what God commands me to do. When I first heard Joseph say this in one of his messages, I thought, oh no, that's not right. I was trying to hear God, but analyze everything with my mind first and make the final decision myself. I did not understand humility. I even said to Joseph that agreeing to obey God and say yes before God directed him is a dangerous way to live. My reaction revealed the unbelief in my heart based on feelings and thoughts I had been serving, because I still wanted to be Lord of my own life out of fear. I had to repent because I did not believe God is love. Paul said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. This is Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you come to God, you have to believe he is God. Set yourself free by rejecting your own lordship and not make any decision without God, and humble yourself. If God is who he says he is, then that also means he cannot be corrupted, and you are safe in his hands, submitting to God. Now my decision is yes, in my heart. Before I ever hear his voice, I'm like a little child. I will obey instantly, any time, day or night. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Do not try to understand anything God says with your mind, or why he says something is important. We have the Spirit of God to lead us into all truth. If you believe he is love, you can obey and seek God for commands. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. A spirit of fear in you is a sign that you still have unbelief, deceiving yourself and accepting a lie so you could do what you want. Obeying his commands is the only way to respond to God. Obeying the commands of God is the easiest way to be part of the kingdom of God now, because he is always right and never wrong. You can enjoy an intimate relationship with the Father and Son by obeying his commands. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is also how it will be in eternity. Jesus told his disciples in the upper room, in John 14, verses 13 and 14. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. disciples on the narrow way, obeying his commands, can ask whatever is needed. There are big commands and small commands. God will never allow us to be tried beyond our own ability. We just need to hear the right voice. The bigger commands require more love. If someone gets a harder command, they are blessed because God is faithful and he is able to supply everything needed for the toughest assignments. And the glory goes back to God through you, and your life will bring glory to the Father. In the book, The Gilded Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 2 on pages 21 to 22, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "You accepted his forgiveness and asked Jesus to come into your heart. You decided to follow Christ, which means you yielded to Jesus Christ as your Lord at that moment. The simple act of confessing your sin, asking Jesus to come into your heart, and receiving God's forgiveness made you a child of God. This doctrine is taught in all evangelical churches. You were then baptized to show others you received Jesus' atonement. Baptism is the symbol that declares your old nature is dead and you are yielded to Christ." Leonard Ravenhill said, "We don't preach salvation, we preach forgiveness." Have you done the following? Number one, accepted his forgiveness for being unprofitable, as God designed you to be through his plan for your life on this earth. Number two, are you penitent and ready to redeem lost time and submit to God? Number three, humbled yourself and repented of using your own mind. Number four, felt helpless and seen the lordship of Jesus as the only lifeline by which you will not end up serving the devil again. Number five, recognized that you will never be saved by doing any works of your own. Number six, are you ready to use the grace of God to hear his voice and by faith please him by doing the works he planned instead? Number seven, have you started following Christ by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily? Number eight, have you seen the fruits of the Holy Spirit manifesting since you started following Christ? Number nine, have you been baptized by someone who is also following Christ, who has the fruits of Christ and counted the cost for following Christ? Jesus sanctified himself by submitting to the will of God and established a new covenant based on doing the will of God, fulfilling the law and overcoming the cross. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 17. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus met the requirements of the old covenant and fulfilled the law by doing the perfect will of God. No one is declared righteous by keeping the law, but with grace and truth, it is possible to please God. We read in John chapter 1, verse 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 17. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You have the forgiveness of sins, grace, mercy, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can also obey God now." Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is Romans chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God does not want any dead sacrifices, but a living sacrifice he will accept. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 to 19, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm starting in verse 16. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Verse 17. "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, What will the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. You cannot follow Christ without your flesh being uncomfortable. Your salvation is incomplete without obedience and some suffering. Your soul will get contaminated again if you go back to your unreasoning and understanding. In the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 2, on page 19, Joseph Hedgecott writes, many believers do not experience consistent spiritual growth. They do not become like Christ because they spent the majority of their lives in the flesh where Satan can influence them. They do not have spiritual victory and do not enjoy consistent fellowship with their Father. Many of these believers enjoyed a close relationship with God when they were first born again. They experienced Jesus' love and forgiveness, but the closeness they had at the beginning faded quickly. Since that time, they have struggled to have fellowship and communion with Him. Their religious efforts have not led them to a close relationship with Him. If you found yourself in this state, you have been deceived by ways that seem right. You are probably busy doing good works, yet you do not enjoy consistent fellowship with your Father. The suffering is going without things in this world that will compromise your righteousness as a Christian. Only the Holy Spirit knows. Those who keep making excuses will be convicted when they are left behind and see you consistently righteous, living by faith on the narrow way. In the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 12, on costs of freedom, on page 102, Joseph Hedgecott writes, when you surrender your lordship to him, every provision of heaven is available to you. Being righteous all the time with what God supplies is good news and proof that his kingdom is here now and Jesus is Lord. The good news is for everyone and could put the devil out of business, tempting others with just earthly success. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, starting in verse 1. Lo, everyone that is thirsty, come, ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. In the Amplified Bible, Isaiah 55, verse 3 says, incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me, hear, and your soul will revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David. God will provide through his lordship on the narrow way. The everlasting covenant mentioned here is based on three things. Number one, inclining your ear to God, submitting to the divine will, rejecting all other voices you might be listening to. That includes the devil and your own good ideas and thoughts. Number two, coming to God by grace through faith and learning to abide. Number three, hearing God's voice all the time, being corrected and being a doer of the word so that the devil cannot tempt you again with earthly things that do not satisfy. Jesus even had to rebuke Peter. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verses 21 to 27. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Verse 23, and he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26. For what is a man profiteth, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Jesus knew he was going to suffer and die, but he also knew he was going to come back and judge the world in righteousness. The cross was part of the plan, but the disciples were carnally minded. Peter and the disciples were listening to a wrong voice, using their own minds because the devil appealed to their flesh. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. Verse 18. For many walk of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. You also need to incline your ear all the time, because in this world, everyone using their minds is blind. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul was preaching two things. Number one, the good news that Jesus, the Son of God, can become the literal functional Lord, and he can start making all the decisions for someone if he or she is willing to give up their lordship. Number two, that he had stopped using his mind and had already become a servant of Christ by the grace of God for the sake of the gospel. We now have forgiveness in his name. Jesus' death on the cross removed the curse of sin so that we could receive and obey the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. In the Amplified Bible, Philippians 2:14 says, Do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God, and questioning and doubting among yourselves. If you are questioning or doubting God's plan for your life, this is proof then that you are using your mind again. Repent! Through the witness of the Spirit, you can come to truth easily and know what you need to do now. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 13, I'm reading, This is John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you the things to come. Any complaints are actually against God, because his grace is sufficient. You might need to humble yourself if you do not have enough grace. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm reading verses 6 to 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition in chapter 8, on daily growth and fellowship, on pages 92 to 93, Joseph Hedgecott writes, there are three voices you can hear in the spirit: God, the devil, and yourself. As you begin to break the habits of the flesh and walk in obedience to God, eventually you will close the door to the voices of the enemy and your flesh. In the beginning of this walk, the three voices may seem equally strong. Therefore, it's important for you to respond appropriately to each voice you may hear. When God speaks, obey him. When the devil speaks, resist him. When self speaks, deny yourself. Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve, and the connection between God and man was lost. Mankind was cut off from God for 4,000 years, and the devil could easily devour and use anyone believing his lies. God's grace and mercy was in the Old Testament for all those who had faith in God and used the grace for repentance and learning to walk with God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. A connection to God was possible by faith before the cross, even though the devil is the god of this world. God is faithful, and it's always made it possible for everyone who has a heart after God to incline their ear and hear the right voice. You were given the measure of faith so that you could believe in God and choose not to serve the lusts of the flesh. Always check your fruit. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You do not have to serve the devil anymore. If you have been yielding to the flesh, then you have also been listening to the devil, offering you a lifestyle where you could still do what you want. This kind of teaching is popular even among carnal Christians. The devil keeps people enslaved by giving them what they want, so that later they become addicted to the lust of the flesh. Paul continued in Romans chapter 6, verses 21 to 23. This is the book of Romans, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. For now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your faith should be rooted in a deep reverence for God, taking over control of your life after you have been so selfish, letting your emotions and feelings and the lusts of the flesh rule. Even today, some see it as evil to serve God, and He is doing us a favor by rescuing us from ourselves. Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, this is the book of Joshua chapter 24, I'm reading verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in which land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By obedience to the Spirit, you can now avoid anything that makes your flesh comfortable. Under the new covenant, you have access to the power of the Holy Spirit to assist the new nature and mortify the flesh. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, I'm reading, this is Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God. Verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Verse 3. And this we will do, if God permit. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, verse 5, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. The devil will make your flesh even more comfortable if you make the wrong choice again. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with a living God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Going from a life in the flesh to a life in the Spirit is a change in operating systems. You may need a heart after God. The changeover is uncomfortable only because through the lust of the eyes and your own efforts, you were serving the devil before. Do not deceive yourself. In the flesh, you were investing in the devil's kingdom. And maybe you still have not repented of using your mind. If someone is giving you empty words, or messages saying you can still do what you want, do not listen. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God. Repentance from dead works and sowing love into God should have produced an immeasurable response in you if you had done this from the start. Seeking God's commandments is exactly 180 degrees in the opposite direction to serving the flesh. The difference is like night and day. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. Those who are born of God are doing things out of God's love, free from the contamination in this world and the lust of the flesh. This is not the same as being born again. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, he said, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love never fails, and God is love. So God never fails, or his plans. All of God's commands are free from corruption, and that is why they work. Everything that comes from God cannot be contaminated because his commands are based on love. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. This is 1 John chapter 5, I'm reading verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Everyone who gives up their lordship can now do the things that originate from God by hearing his voice and doing everything free from the corruption in this world by faith. You should have seen how much corruption is in you when you are at the point of your conversion. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 18, I'm reading. This is in the book of Romans chapter 3, I'm reading verse 10. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeks after God. Verse 12. They are all gone out of their way, and they have together become unprofitable. And there is none that does good, no, not one. Verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips. Verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Verse 17. And the way of peace they have not known. Verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. From the experience of Charles Finney, those people in comfortable churches need about 5 days of his preaching just to get them to the point where they wake up and realize they are drowning in their sins. Those seeking salvation had to endure Charles Finney in an after-inquiry session as well. Each of Finney's messages were 2 to 3 hours in length. They were more like a lawyer's discourse than a sermon. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32, But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. It's not wrong to feel guilty when judged by God. He can reveal the sin and corruption that is in your heart and mind over a period of time if you let him. Time is running out and you need to repent before it's too late. You will not experience condemnation if you have a heart after God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, There is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You will have to admit that you were deceiving yourself by avoiding correction and conviction. If you do not have a heart after God, you are still hiding from sound teaching. If you want to be ready for his appearing, then you have to please God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, So then there are those that are in the flesh cannot please God. It is possible to please God by faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross just before the appearing of the kingdom of God, 50 days before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God's plan is for you to be ready for his appearing and has provided everything you need to enter, live, and abide in the kingdom of God now. It's not enough just to be born again. You have to wear certain clothes too at your wedding. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 3, If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. Those Christians whose flesh is comfortable are naked and need to be clothed. Paul said in Romans 13 and verse 14, Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Jesus is coming soon, and this is a warning to everyone. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 to 22, I'm reading Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In these last days, if you respond positively to Jesus knocking on the door of your heart and repent of your lordship, he will be open with you. There is still time to get the clothes you need. You have to put on Christ by getting on the narrow way. The clothes you need to wear is Christ himself. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You cannot have eternal salvation without putting on Christ. He overcame sin, death, hell, and the grave by faith, and you have to do the same. You can overcome this world by obedience to God through the Holy Spirit. Paul continued in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 to 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. The word groan in Strong's is number 4727. It comes from another word which means to make or be in straits, that is, to sigh or murmur or pray inaudibly with grief, groan, or grudge, or sigh. Paul was not groaning or complaining or asking to be unclothed. He was still growing and learning spiritually through repentance. He was content either way, but he was groaning inwardly. The word groan also means sigh. Paul was not complaining about God's creation or the weakness of his body. He was sighing because he knew that through Christ there was no excuse. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. A good workman never blames his tools. The body can get tired, but God can give us the strength we need to do his perfect will by faith. God is no man's debtor. In my training, I would hear the words now and again, it doesn't take you long to know you missed it. It was like a feeling of, oh no. For me, it was a big sigh because I had started on a way that seems right, thinking and trying to do things using my mind again. Paul also said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This is Philippians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Using your own mind and not asking God is proof that you have your own righteousness. Paul had taken up his cross and was discovering daily the things God provided for him. He was already confident through what he had already experienced that he was getting ever closer to a death like Christ dying on the cross. In the meantime, he was also discovering the love of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to 39. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 37. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Something can be true, but not truth. There is a lot of love available in Christ. But if you live in the flesh, you will not experience the love of God. The love of God can only be experienced on the narrow way. Paul had discovered how far-reaching the love of God was for him personally. He said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Today there is a worldwide pandemic of sin and depression that can be traced back to the lack of the love of God in men's hearts. The TV stations would struggle today without this pandemic of sin because they would have nothing bad to report. If everyone had a full supply of the love of God, there would only be good news to report. The world does not believe the truth that the gospel can solve all the world's problems. They rather believe in man's ability to solve issues their own way. In the church, we should have nothing but good news. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The church is full of wrong teaching. Many believe that once you are born again, you are in Christ and will live in heaven when you die. People who believe this do not experience his love and suffer loss. And those who teach this are deceiving others. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. This is in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. At salvation you were given a lot of grace, but that grace was for you to repent. Some people refer to this as the honeymoon period. There is a period of grace at the beginning where grace keeps flowing. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 16. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. A small child will eat all the nice things on their plate first, and leave the things they do not like to the end, including the green vegetables that are good for them. Others look forward to the sweet cakes afterwards. Jesus, through the Spirit, has given us grace and truth. But some are preaching grace only. With the grace only teaching, you will never come to maturity. You will have many disappointments as you make the same mistakes again and again. It's only through truth and repentance you will grow. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Many have never grown up spiritually because they will not put away five things according to Peter. Number one, malice, anger, evil or ill will towards others or God. Two, guile, deceit, deception, to avoid correction and conviction. Three, hypocrisies, playing lip service to God, just calling him Lord. Four, envy, carnally minded, comparing yourself to others. Five, evil speaking, gossip, slander, backbiting and swearing. The church in Colossians needed repentance. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 to 14, and reading. This is Colossians chapter 4, starting verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Verse 13. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. The Colossians were the ones that Paul told that they were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They ended up being lukewarm instead. Jesus said to them in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. You are either hot, cold, or lukewarm. Walking in the Spirit on the narrow way is what makes you hot. Walking in the flesh on the broad way is what makes you cold. Paul said himself in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for which I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Winning Christ is not based on a correctly formulated prayer for forgiveness. You have to be found in love with him at the end to have the hope of serving with Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. This is Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is the hope of glory. Christ is only dwelling in those who are keeping his commands. The kingdom of God is here now. So the glory to be revealed is based on the fact that Christ has set up his kingdom in your heart by the Spirit. This is not the same as asking Jesus for forgiveness at salvation. Jesus sets up his throne when you seek God for commands. Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. For more information on seeking God for commands, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hitchcock. You might rely on some preacher, a church gathering, or some special prayers of deliverance to get you on fire again. But the best you will be is lukewarm. You need to learn to hear and obey God yourself. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 26. For you all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Baptism is a funeral service celebrating the death and burial of the old nature and the start of a new life, led by the Spirit, asking God everything. Those coming for water baptism should have the fruit of that repentance and the transformation that has taken place afterwards. This is what happened when John was baptizing. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. The flesh needs to die. The flesh is stopping you from being clothed, ready for eternity. Your wedding dress is Christ. If you want to wear Christ, you have to stop jumping in the flesh when there's a problem. He has paid the price so you can be clothed properly. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. I'm reading the book of Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Those baptized into Christ follow Christ by denying themselves daily, taking up their cross, keeping the old nature crucified. If you do not do this, you will end up following a way that seems right. In the book, The Guilted Prison, revised edition, at the end of chapter 11, on how do you escape, on page 99, Joseph Hedgecott writes, walking in the Spirit neutralizes Satan's traps and delivers you from the prisons of your flesh. If your flesh is not crucified and in the grave, then you have not put on Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know you not that so many of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Paul was living by faith on the narrow way. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. In the Amplified Bible, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conversation or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. You're going to lose this physical body eventually through decay. But while you're still here, you are supposed to get on the narrow way and you will be clothed with that natural body. You even learn to witness resurrection power. The prophet here was talking about Jesus in the book of Isaiah. This is Isaiah 53. I'm reading verses 1 all the way to verse 7. This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, starting in verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, and he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Those who are carnal cannot see the eternal realm. They can only see what is happening around them and are controlled and influenced by the world. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, starting verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Verse 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Verse 28. For I have five brethren, and that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Verse 29. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Verse 30. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Verse 31. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Sometimes the rich and the most wicked people, using their own assets, live a lot longer in great comfort. However, this is a testament to God's grace, giving them more time to repent so they do not end up in hell. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 14, I'm reading. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm reading verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that thou art, all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Before you can preach the true, uncontaminated gospel, you have to make sure you are on the narrow way yourself. Paul said in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. In the Amplified Bible, Acts 16 and verse 31 says, Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, give yourself up to him, take yourself out of your own keeping, and entrust yourself into his own keeping, and you'll be saved. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, not believe on the Savior Jesus Christ. There is a difference. There is no option to just accept Jesus as your Savior. If you believe on the Savior Jesus Christ and still do what you want, you will be left behind. Jesus is Lord now, and he is not planning to retire. to accept him as Lord of your life, there are three things you must do. Number one, give yourself up to him and establish him as Lord. Number two, trust God to provide, not look out for your own well-being and comfort in this temporal world. Three, listen to his every instruction through the Holy Spirit so that he can fully take care of you and keep you. To complete your salvation in Christ, you have to trust and obey and stop leaning to your own understanding. You need to abide in him, not just visit Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. I'm reading Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ's circumcision includes putting away activities that are not part of God's plan for your life. You need to seek the minimum conditions for your salvation, and he will remove activities and any career you have chosen yourself that is not part of God's plan. Christ's circumcision will affect what you do in your spare time that can potentially feed your flesh. Hobbies that are not part of your calling can take up precious time. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm starting in verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves have that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Verse 6. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It means unapproved, that is, rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally, a castaway, rejected or reprobate. Paul was saying that he was not a reprobate, even though he was going through many hardships. If you are still clinging to something in this world, you are hindering the process of sanctification. Paul realized that he had to be in him at his appearing. The church does not want to hear this. Many will be left behind, even though they are born again. If you want to rule and reign with Christ, you have to be in right standing with God when he appears or when you die, whichever comes first. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Christian leaders using their minds, trying to understand the Bible, have adjusted the gospel, saying all you need to do is just be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, I'm reading verses 1 to 3. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was calling Jesus Rabbi. He did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Nicodemus believed Jesus was just a prophet, a good teacher, and was coming for a chat or light discussion at night. He marveled at Jesus' teaching, which proved he was carnal. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Verse 8. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Those ready for heaven are not just born again, but born of God and led by the Spirit. John said in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 7, Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. The only way you can now stop sinning is through obedience to the Spirit. You need to be born of God, not just be born again. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. This is in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 16. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Church denominations have replaced the need to stop sinning with excuses. Churches are full of members who are baptized in lemon juice and ignorant. They can never be happy inside. If they obey the Spirit, the flesh complains. If they obey the flesh, the Spirit will resist. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 says, awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him. I say this to your shame. Do not deceive yourself. We are supposed to live controlled by the Spirit, have faith that God will take care of all our needs. This even includes the food that God provides. Paul said in Romans 14 and verse 23, and he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Paul said that you should not eat without having faith that what he set before you is good and that you are free to do so if it does not offend your brother. You are supposed to give thanks before you eat, knowing that he will continue to provide for you on the narrow way. Anything that is not coming from simple faith in God is sin. Eternal salvation is given to those that obey Him out of love. We are incapable of loving Him because our love is selfish, but through the commands we can sow love into God. Through the commands we also get to experience His love and can give more back as well. Now by you obeying His commands, Jesus and the Father set up their throne in your heart. Christ in us is the hope of glory. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. I'm reading 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. Verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John knew he was in Christ, and Christ was dwelling in him by the Spirit because of obedience. John was not relying on repeating the sinner's prayer or having some born-again experience 20 or 30 years ago. Christianity is not just another religion, but is a relationship with the living God. John was speaking from experience too, because he personally had seen Jesus walk on this earth without sinning. Those on the narrow way are using the grace and the precious promises of God to obey and overcome temptation. It will become clearer and clearer who is listening to the right voice based on the fruit of the Spirit in these last days. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 19, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The fruit of the Spirit is a sign of maturity, not the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry you are following might look good to others, but after a while it will come crashing down. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. This is Matthew 7. I'm reading verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And every one that hears these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Make sure you are following Christ by being a doer of the word. The wise person will be working on his spiritual foundation now. Paul was speaking about Jesus and said this in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. This is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. The church that Paul was writing to here was not ready to receive the truth about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They wanted to still hang on to some of the Old Testament principles based on the Levitical priesthood, rather than have their lives corrected by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was of the order of Melchizedek, not a Levite based on ceremonial washings, since he was already clean. He never sinned. He trusted in the Father to direct him, prayed and saw the Father save him through obedience, even though he suffered. Now eternal salvation is available to all those who obey the Spirit, who are also willing to suffer. But this kind of teaching is too much for some. Paul continued in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who are, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Christians prefer to hear comforting scriptures from the written word taken out of context. Some carnal Christians have a promise box of different scriptures rolled up in a box for a time of need instead of relying on conviction and repentance to grow spiritually. You cannot say you're righteous using a promise box as a means of daily guidance. The author Arthur Pink wrote this: "The nature of Christ's salvation is woefully misrepresented by the present-day evangelist. He announces a savior from hell rather than a savior from sin. And that is why so many are fatally deceived, for there are multitudes who wish to escape the lake of fire, who have no desire to be delivered from their carnality and worldliness. The church today does not want to hear about denying self daily and taking up your cross or consistently walking in the Spirit. They prefer a religion instead." Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Some churches just want to learn how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17, This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now is the time to learn about the narrow way, submit to the Spirit and correction, and repent before it's too late. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, by Joseph Hitchcock. If you need to establish the right foundations for life on the narrow way, then I can recommend this book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to consistently walk by faith, grow up, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, by Joseph Hitchcock. I believe God is speaking all the time. He is transmitting His perfect will for every child of His. He loves you, and you are special. So you need to hear what God wants and what God has planned for your life. You're supposed to have a relationship with Him. He loves you, but you can also respond in love to Him and not see Christianity as just another religion. I hope through this message, you have woken up and realized that you are not following Christ. I want to pray with you. I want to pray that you get on that narrow way, that you submit yourself to Him and you make Him Lord of your life. Father in heaven, I thank you for those who are listening to this message. That, Father, as you've been touching their hearts and making them realize that their hearts are far from you. They've even called you Lord, Lord, but they've never really made you Lord. Father, I'm praying for them that as they humble themselves and they turn to you, that, Father, I pray that you will give them again a new heart. You will soften that stony heart that is turned away from a living relationship with you and forget the things of this world so they can concentrate on you and hear your voice and get to know you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below, either directly or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow. We'd love to hear from you that you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Amen. God bless you.